Hello, I'm Bruce from the Talking Information Center, and today I'll be reading news articles from the Taunton Daily Gazette for Friday, August 21st. Voters back nearly all. Massachusetts residents say they plan to support every ballot question except one. By Margie Cullen of the USA Today Network. Massachusetts residents largely support the several questions that will appear on this November's statewide ballot, except for one. According to an August 18th UMass poll, over two-thirds of Bay Staters said they would vote for the questions that would implement same-day voter registration, expand the public records law, uphold gun control, and establish a nature fund. While a few questions were less popular, the only question that most respondents said they wouldn't vote for was one to roll back legal marijuana in the state. The poll surveyed 800 registered voters from August 5th through 12th. It has a margin of error of 4.4%. Which ballot questions are likely to pass? Massachusetts voters will see 9 questions on their ballot this fall. Here are all 9 in order of how they will appear on the ballot and how poll said residents will vote on them. Question 1. Expanding the public records law. 84% support, 7% oppose. This proposal, backed by Massachusetts Auditor Diana DiSoglio, would make most records held by the governor's office and legislature subject to the state's public records law. Question 2. Collective bargaining for CPCS employees. 45% support, 24% oppose. This proposal would allow employees of the Committee for Public Counsel Services to form a union. Question 3. State primary elections. 51% support, 32% oppose. This proposal would make Massachusetts state elections starting in 2028 like Boston's. Candidates of all parties would be on a single ballot in the primary, with the top two finishers advancing to the general elections. These are sometimes known as jungle primaries. Question 4. Election Day Registration. 69% support, 22% oppose. This question, proposed by Galvin, would allow Massachusetts voters to register at the polls on Election Day, also known as same-day voter registration. Question 5. State Revenue Limit and Rebate. 59% support, 14% oppose. This question would change the limit on state tax revenues so that annual revenue growth is tied to the average growth of wages and salaries in the state over the previous 3 years. Any revenue collected above the limit would be refunded to taxpayers. Question 6. Natural Resource Conservation Fund. 67% support, 22% oppose. This proposed law would establish a Nature for All fund that would receive 50% of state taxes from sporting goods, recreational vehicles, and golf courses. the money would be used for natural resource conservation, such as protecting green spaces and bodies of water. Question 7. Single-family homes. 59% support, 21% oppose. Pushed as an initiative to make more affordable starter homes, this law would allow single-family homes to be built on lots as small as 5,000 square feet, provided they have at least a little room between the road. Question 8. Prohibit retail sale of adult recreational use marijuana. 33% support, 55% oppose. While Massachusetts has increasingly legalized marijuana in recent years, this question would repeal provisions in the current law that allow for the drug to be sold commercially in the state. Question 9. Firearms regulation. 70% support, 22% oppose. This is a referendum question on the 2024 gun reform law known as Chapter 135 that strengthened Massachusetts gun regulations. A yes vote would uphold the law, while a no vote would repeal it. U.S. debt crosses $40 trillion threshold, doubling across Trump-Biden presidencies. By David Lauda and Jacob Bogage of Reuters. Total U.S. debt has topped $40 trillion for the first time, the Treasury Department said August 19th, drawing fresh warnings that a fiscal crisis is brewing as ballooning costs for social safety net programs and interest payments far outstrip revenues held back by tax cuts. The Treasury's latest daily cash and debt balances statement showed total public debt outstanding at $40.047 trillion on August 18th, a total that includes Treasury securities held by the public of $32.266 trillion and intragovernmental debt holdings of $7.782 trillion. The federal government's IOU now more than doubled in less than a decade, from $19.95 trillion when President Donald Trump was sworn in for the first time in January 2017. Roughly one-third of that increase occurred during 2 years of frantic government spending and borrowing to fund the COVID-19 pandemic. Responses undertaken by Trump and former President Joe Biden, while the fiscal policy choices of both presidents combined with long-running tax and spending imbalances account for the rest. Budget watchdog groups have anticipated crossing the threshold for weeks and issued stark warnings that a full-blown debt crisis could erupt unless lawmakers confront an unsustainable fiscal outlook and raise taxes, cut spending, or both. $40 trillion of debt doesn't exist solely on the government's ledgers. It is felt throughout the economy and finds its way to the pocketbooks of people one way or another, said Maya McGinnis, president of the nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. The more we borrow, the more we exacerbate inflation, squeeze out other priorities in the budget, and leave ourselves vulnerable to emergencies at home and turmoil abroad, McGinnis said in a statement just after the Treasury data was released. She said the $40 trillion figure was reached less than 5 months after debt reached $39 trillion and has quadrupled in less than 20 years after taking until 1981 to reach $1 trillion for the first time. Global creditors may be growing wary, with demand from foreign investors holding nearly one-third of treasuries declining over the past year. Days after a $25 billion auction of 30-year treasury bonds went off at the highest yield since 2021, yields on so-called long bonds on August 18th hit their highest levels in nearly two decades as investors demanded greater compensation in the face of hefty U.S. government bond issuance. Yields moved inversely to bond prices. On August 19th, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent took a bold step to push long bond yields back down, announcing a doubling of buyback sizes for 10 to 30-year treasuries to at least $4 billion per operation. Higher treasury yields at the longer end tend to push up interest rates for mortgages, car, and commercial loans. With the mountain of debt showing no signs of abating, Trump on August 19th repeated his frequent demand for lower rates. Asked at the White House whether Americans should worry about bond market volatility, Trump said, "I don't think so at all. I think we have a very powerful country, and we're powering through these ridiculous interest rates. They're ridiculous. Look, when our country is strong, interest rates should go down." The Treasury recently reported the fourth highest monthly deficit in U.S. history, $432 billion for July, as tariff refunds turned customs receipts negative for the third month in a row, and outlays for Social Security and Medicare benefits for seniors continued to grow. The deficit for the first 10 months of fiscal 2026 has already exceeded the total gap for all of fiscal 2025, with 2 months to go in the current fiscal year. Trump has largely ignored the dwindling number of fiscal hawks in his Republican Party, championing heavy spending across his two terms. Public debt rose by $7.8 trillion during Trump's first term, with more than half of it accumulating during the pandemic response over his last 9 months in office. Since Trump took office a second time in January 2025, the U.S. debt load has increased by $3.8 trillion for a total growth of $11.6 trillion across his two terms so far. Public debt increased by $8.4 trillion during Biden's term, also marked by heavy COVID-19 recovery spending, but driven as well by big-ticket outlays for infrastructure investment, clean energy subsidies, and other priorities championed by his Democratic Party. The Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget estimates that the policy choices of Trump and Biden have increased the federal debt trajectory beyond what would have accumulated under the existing spending statutes when each took office. For instance, Trump's landmark second-term legislative package, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act will add another $4.7 trillion in debt, according to the Congressional Budget Office, the nonpartisan bookkeeper for federal lawmakers. Trump has branded his second presidency as one focused on cost-cutting, marked by early federal agency job cuts ordered by the non-governmental Department of Government Efficiency. But much of his spending reductions have targeted so-called discretionary programs, the smallest portion of the federal budget. The United States spends roughly $7 trillion annually, and 60% of it is earmarked for so-called mandatory programs, including payments for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and veterans care, that generally grow to keep pace with living costs. Another $1.1 trillion pays the interest on U.S. borrowing, the cost of which rises as the debt pile grows and as interest rates climb. The 2025 fiscal year budget marked the first time debt service costs exceeded Pentagon funding. In the first 10 months of 2026 fiscal year, interest costs have eclipsed Medicare health care outlays to become the second largest line item in the federal budget, behind Social Security pension system. The United States is spending more to fund the retirement and health care costs of the baby boom generation, straining the trust funds behind Social Security and Medicare, even as payroll and income tax revenues fall short of covering federal costs. Much Ado About Nothing at TPAC in Taunton, by Beth McDermott. Audiences can see Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing during a 3-performance run August 21st to 23rd at the Taunton Performing Arts Center, 21 Main Street, Taunton. The production is being presented by the Taunton Performing Arts Center, according to a community announcement. Performances are scheduled for 7:30 p.m. August 21st and August 22nd, with a 2 p.m. matinee August 23rd. The tickets are priced from $20 to $30 per person plus fees. The comedy follows a series of misunderstandings, mistaken identities, and romantic conflicts. When a villain attempts to damage hero's reputation, the situation sparks deception, drama, and efforts to restore justice while several characters navigate complicated relationships. According to the announcement, the play features witty dialogue, humor, and themes of love, loyalty, and second chances that have helped make it one of Shakespeare's most enduring comedies. Tickets can be purchased through the Taunton Performing Arts Center webpage. Kent eyes MAGA rebellion over Iran. Ex-Trump supporters consider new movement, by Zach Anderson, the USA Today. President Donald Trump led an insurgent takeover of the Republican Party. Now, one prominent Make America Great Again movement dissident believes the same playbook could be used by conservative critics of the Iran war. After resigning from the Trump administration over his opposition to the conflict, Joe Kent has been exploring how to channel anti-war sentiment into political action. Trump led the MAGA movement astray with the war, he said in an interview. We know that we have something here in terms of political energy, Kent said. We know that people are frustrated. Some in MAGA believe the conflict clashes with Trump's campaign pledges to avoid military entanglements. A July gathering Trump attended at the main home of conservative media personality Tucker Carlson fueled speculation about a new political movement. The meeting included Representative Thomas Massie, a Republican from Kentucky, and former Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, who resigned from her position earlier this year and said she no longer supports the Republican Party. Greene posted a photo on social media afterward with the caption, "The movement has begun." Kent shared details of the confab, saying an anti-war political coalition could be a force in future elections and offering different scenarios for the shape it might take, while noting it's still in the early stages. We still just have to flesh out what this coalition is all about, he said. An Army veteran and close ally of former Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, another veteran who has embraced the non-interventionism, Kent said he was drawn to the president by his foreign policy platform. He joined the administration in 2025 as the director of U.S. National Counterterrorism Center, but resigned on March 17th, less than 3 weeks into the Iran war. In his resignation letter, Kent wrote about his 11 combat deployments and losing his wife, who was killed by a suicide bomber while serving with the Navy in Syria. He told Trump he opposed sending the next generation off to fight and die in a war that serves no benefit to the American people nor justifies the cost of American lives. There have been 18 U.S. service members killed in the war, and concerns about troop morale amid complaints about living conditions on the USS Abraham Lincoln. Kent is continuing to press his case publicly while taking tentative steps to organize politically. He told USA Today that the president is too focused on a formal peace deal and should simply walk away. Trump announced a peace deal in June, but it quickly fell apart amid jockeying over the Strait of Hormuz, a vital waterway for oil shipments. Trump said August 18th that the United States is not engaged in talks with Iran amid an ongoing naval blockade, suggesting a stalemate. There's no military solution, Kent said. If there was one, then he just would simply execute it. The White House responded by calling Kent a quitter. President Trump has destroyed nearly all of Iran's military capabilities and is crushing what's left of its abysmal economy with the most powerful naval blockade in world history, White House spokesperson Davis Ingle said in a statement. Trump has targeted many MAGA war opponents, and Kent has been criticized for his rhetoric on Israel. In his resignation letter, he wrote that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful lobby, and went on to say that Israeli officials and the media deployed a misinformation campaign that wholly undermined your America First platform and sowed pro-war sentiments. Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican, Kentucky, said the letter displayed virulent anti-Semitism. Kent said he's focused on the Israeli government and could care less what the religion is. I don't care if they all go to the same church as me. If they're from a foreign country, I don't want them dictating our foreign policy, he said. The unpopular war is shadowing the 2026 midterm elections, threatening to drag down the GOP as it seeks to maintain its control of Congress. Just 39% of voters approve of Trump's job performance in the Real Clear Politics average of recent polls. It's unclear how deep the appetite is for a GOP reckoning on Iran. A recent AP NORC survey found most Republicans still back Trump on the conflict, but that support has slipped. Kent said the war could have lasting political repercussions and continue to be a potent issue in the 2028 presidential contest. He and other MAGA rebels are looking ahead and plotting how to influence future elections. He, Massey, Green, and Carlson agree that the GOP establishment has failed. Where they go next remains to be seen. Carlson and Green have talked about backing a new political party. Yet while everyone gathered around Carlson's wooden table liked the idea of a third party, Kent said he noted there are significant hurdles to getting one on the ballot. Instead, Kent pointed to the Trump model in floating the idea of trying to hijack the Republican Party. He also suggested that an existing third party, such as the Libertarian Party, could serve as a vehicle to channel a coalition of voters who oppose foreign conflicts and want to focus on domestic needs. Those scenarios would require unifying behind an anti-war candidate. Nobody at Carlson's house was eager to be that person, Kent said. After twice losing races for Congress in Washington State against Democrat Marguerite Glusenkamp Perez, Kent said that he got that out of my system and won't be a candidate again. Whoever runs, Kent suggested, there could be an effort to reset the Republican Party on foreign policy in 2028 presidential primary. Vice President J.D. Vance is a likely contender for the nomination, but Kent said he could face a credibility problem after serving in an administration that launched a new war.